Diamond and Teelard come out of their corner swinging. EAA and the city of Oshkosh may collaborate on Whitman Field improvements. And the world watches for a WTO decision on manufacturer subsidies. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, May 30th, 2008. The director overseeing the insolvency proceedings at Teelard Aircraft Engines has accused Diamond Aircraft Industries of waging a misinformation campaign to make customers of its DA-40 TDI and DA-42 feel, quote, massively insecure, unquote. He was referring to Diamond's recent letter to customers, expressing pessimism about a continued supply of Teelard engines and parts, and accusing Teelard of price gouging a captive audience of existing engine owners. The director, Dr. Bruno M. Kebler, claimed Diamond tried to negotiate special conditions to buy parts at prices below what customers would pay. Representatives with the London, Ontario plane maker responded, quote, Diamond has distributed information to its customers that accurately describe the current situation. The single information letter hardly constitutes a campaign. The interests of Diamond and its customers are the same. Those of the insolvency administrator and TAE are not, unquote. The tit-for-tat doesn't look to be cooling down either. Diamond says it has 50 aircraft grounded waiting for parts and 60% of its annual production held up waiting for engines. Kebler counters that 90% of the spare parts Diamond needs were offered to the company, but will now be released for sale in the open market. Kebler says Teelard is even resuming sales of new engines. Diamond says Teelard is requiring money up front for those new engines, and quote, we question how one would reasonably expect to attract either significant orders or investors with a now financially non-viable product and a policy of bleeding a captive customer base, unquote. Kebler counters that he's required by German insolvency law to get money up front. It's looking like this one could go 15 rounds, or until the world runs out of mud, whichever comes first. Stay tuned. The Experimental Aircraft Association wants to make improvements to its facilities at Whitman Field in Oshkosh. The city has been debating a $2 million renovation of its downtown convention center. Now it looks as if they may work together. The Oshkosh Northwestern reports EAA is asking city officials for $1.94 million in tax incremental funding to construct two expanded two-story exhibit buildings, which would link the four existing exhibit hangars in pairs. The extensions are part of a 10-year, $17.2 million upgrade project at Whitman and would result in nearly 150,000 square feet of additional indoor exhibit space, complete with indoor plumbing, air conditioning, and meeting areas. EAA's Dick Nepinski told Fox 11 News, EAA isn't simply looking to expand its own facilities, but rather asking, quote, how can we make this air venture area more useful year-round? How can we make it something that would be a draw for the entire Oshkosh area throughout the entire year, unquote. Oshkosh City Councilor Paul Esslinger says EAA's plan may pose an attractive alternative for the city, which could then sell the existing convention center to a private company. The council is expected to consider the TIF assistance plan on June 10th. EAA plans to reveal other details of its expansion plan during AirVenture. The World Trade Organization is expected to rule within a few weeks on a complaint by the U.S. against the European Union, claiming European governments are unfairly subsidizing the development of Airbus products. As the days tick by, the case is being watched not only by the parties directly involved, but by other nations interested in developing their own airliners. The International Herald Tribune reports the case is getting even more attention this week after European governments suggested they will issue loans to help with development costs for the Airbus A350XWB, a competitor to Boeing's 787. Part of the U.S. complaint in the WTO holds that these so-called loans are not always required to be repaid and amount to government grants. A counterclaim brought by the EU holds that money paid by the U.S. Defense Department to Boeing for development of new military aircraft, tax incentives offered by municipalities hoping to lure Boeing manufacturing plants, and subsidies paid by Japan to parts suppliers are themselves government subsidies and total $23 billion since 1992. A WTO ruling in that case is expected late this year. Ted Austell, Boeing's Vice President for International Policy, says the WTO decisions will set precedent affecting other member nations. China, Japan, Brazil, and other countries are all looking to build their own airliners to reduce reliance on imports as their domestic air travel markets grow. Austell says, quote, With other countries aspiring to build large civil aircraft, these cases are even more important to the future of the industry than they were when they were filed, unquote. Analyst Richard Abulafia, with the Thiel Group in Virginia, predicts any ruling by the WTO will still leave wiggle room for governments to funnel money to aircraft manufacturers. Quote, the WTO only rules on a specific configuration, unquote. While the cases in the WTO are technically disputes between nations, not companies, the body's verdicts in the competing cases are expected to lead to direct settlement negotiations between Boeing and Airbus. The New York Times reported this week that the merger between United and U.S. Airways was dead. Then the Wall Street Journal reported Wednesday the talks were very much alive, and another session was scheduled for Thursday. Then the Associated Press reported on Thursday that United CEO Glenn Tilton and U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker are meeting in person. All three organizations cited unnamed sources close to the talks, unquote. The only thing we know for sure now is that the reliability of unnamed sources close to the talks appears to vary widely. AP reports its sources say the merger faces numerous hurdles, but is still possible, despite published reports that the talks have broken down. The Wall Street Journal reports that one issue on which both sides agree is the amount of operational savings which could be achieved through a merger, about $1.5 billion a year. That could be one big compelling reason to keep the talks alive. Industry sources agree that U.S. Airways is made a much less attractive merger partner by the ongoing workforce integration hangover from its merger 3 years ago with America West. The union representing pilots of the old U.S. Airways claims settling that mess could take up to 7 years. Both companies have declined official comment on any of the variations of the reports. Combined, United and U.S. Airways have about 91,000 employees, more than 800 airplanes, and annual revenues of almost $32 billion. One unnamed source close to Aeronews says that if the two CEOs are carpooling to the meeting, he hopes Tilton is driving. Up next on ANN, two customs officers are charged with participating in a bribery and drug ring. Delta's flight attendants remain non-union, for now. And a NASA employee is suspended over Hatch Act violations. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 30th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The challenges of assuring a truly safe border have been highlighted this week by the arrest of two Customs and Border Protection officers from Long Island on charges they were part of a bribery and drug ring at JFK International Airport. Newsday reports federal agents charged 65-year-old supervisory officer Walter Golombowski of Bethpage with bribery conspiracy and narcotics importation conspiracy. 51-year-old Inspector John Aiello of Hicksville was charged with bribery conspiracy. A third man, 46-year-old Victor Huzumas of Merrick, is described as a private customs broker and faces similar charges. The multi-jurisdictional New York Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Strike Force alleges that from 2004 to this year, Golombowski and others allowed counterfeit goods, hashish, and other drugs to be cleared through customs at JFK. Authorities say they've arrested more than 20 people during a five-year investigation and seized more than 600 pounds of imported hashish worth about $500,000. Officials say the defendants were also caught plotting to smuggle in counterfeit Rolex, Cartier, and Chanel watches and sunglasses. Golombowski and Aiello are accused of pocketing tens of thousands of dollars in their roles. Both men are said to be 20-year veterans of the Customs and Border Protection Agency. If convicted, prison terms could range from up to 5 years for Aiello to up to 70 years for Golombowski. Delta Airlines flight attendants have voted against union representation, but the battle to organize them appears far from over. The Association of Flight Attendants had more than enough support to hold the election, but when it came time to vote, a majority of eligible employees didn't turn out. Because the election needed more than 50% turnout to become binding and drew participation from only about 40% of the 13,380 flight attendants eligible, the union has lost its bid to organize. As might be expected, analysis of the outcome varies depending on which side you talk to. TheStreet.com reports that Joanne Smith, Senior Vice President of Delta's In-Flight Service Division, told reporters on a conference call, quote, "Our flight attendants rejected the AFA by a very sound margin. We believe the direct relationship we have is the best relationship," unquote. The union, on the other hand, says the company used posted notices, emails, and DVDs to promote its message that, quote, "The only sure way to vote no was to not vote at all," unquote. AFA says it will file formal interference charges with the National Mediation Board by June 6th, alleging the company interfered with the right to have a free and fair election. Smith counters that Delta sought to inform its flight attendants of the truth and to counteract inaccuracies circulated by the union. AFA CWA International President Pat Friend issued a prepared statement, spinning the defeat as an incremental victory and looking ahead. Quote, "A larger portion of the Delta workforce than ever before voted for union representation. Those supporters, combined with strong union support at Northwest, will clearly be enough for the flight attendants to win union representation after the merger with Northwest is finalized," unquote. NASA says it has suspended an employee for 180 days without pay, effective March 30th, for violations of the Hatch Act, which prohibits federal executive branch employees from political activity while on federal time or using federal facilities. An investigation by the U.S. Office of Special Counsel found the employee used his NASA email account to send partisan political emails and made numerous partisan political postings to his blog while on duty in his federal workspace. He was also found to have solicited political contributions. All of those things are violations. Special Counsel Scott Block observed, quote, "There was a time when the Hatch Act was about wearing campaign buttons in the office. Today, modern office technology multiplies the opportunities for employees to abuse their positions," unquote. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association responded quickly after the Chicago Tribune ran an editorial on the Friday before Memorial Day advocating that the nation's air traffic control system be privatized and funded with user fees. The paper touted privatization as the cure for airline delays. In his letter to the editor in reply, AOPA President Phil Boyer wrote, quote, "The Chicago Tribune's proposed cure for what ails the nation's air transportation system will instead probably kill one of the patients," unquote. Boyer outlined the major role general aviation plays and what has happened to it in countries where air traffic control has been privatized. He also noted how imperative general aviation is to the Chicago economy. Quote, "Crippling an entire segment of the aviation industry in the name of shorter airline delays is just plain short-sighted, and we made sure the editors of the Chicago Tribune knew that," unquote. Still ahead, the geared turbofan emerges from Phase 2 ground testing. Greg Principato joins the blogosphere. And a TV news helicopter busts a presidential TFR in Colorado. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, May 30th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Pratt & Whitney says its geared turbofan demonstrator engine recently completed Phase 2 ground tests and has been cleared for flight testing on the company's 747 flying testbed. Phase 2, which began in April at Pratt & Whitney's advanced test facility in West Palm Beach, Florida, focused on engine performance and ground acoustics with the engine's flight capable nacelle system. The engine completed 120 hours of testing and has logged a total of 250 hours since ground testing began in November of 2007. Bob Saya, Pratt & Whitney Vice President, Next Generation Product Family, says the tests have confirmed laboratory projections and met or exceeded all performance targets. Quote, "The double-digit reductions in fuel burn, engine noise, environmental emissions, and operating costs we've targeted make the geared turbofan engine the best solution for the next generation of commercial aircraft," unquote. Following flight testing on Pratt & Whitney's 747, Airbus plans its own flight testing later this year on an A340. This week, Airports Council International North America President Greg Principato made his inaugural post on an airport blog named Airport Check-In, available on the ACINA website. Principato explained, quote, "ACINA, as the voice of airports, needs to be able to provide and ask for feedback in as many online spaces as possible, including the social media space," unquote. His first entry describes airports as, quote, "the new town square, where people come from everywhere to mingle, eat, shop, and grab their flight to see a loved one, attend an important event, or conclude a business deal," unquote. He also applauds members of the nation's armed forces. Quote, "Airports, airlines, concessionaires, and many others have joined together to try to make that part of their experience an enjoyable one," unquote. Airport Check-In will be updated at least every Wednesday. You can find it at www.aci-na.org. The Airport Check-In has a prominent banner near the top of the left column. While President Bush was visiting graduation ceremonies at the U.S. Air Force Academy near Colorado Springs Wednesday, a TFR was in effect for a 30-mile radius. The FAA says the pilot of a TV news helicopter, WMGH's Air Tracker 7, was asked when departing Centennial Airport if he was aware of the TFR. He reportedly replied in the affirmative, but still headed in that direction. As the helicopter drew closer to the airspace boundary, the FAA says the pilot once again was warned and again acknowledged, but then flew on into the restricted area. FAA spokesman Mike Fergus told competitor KWGN2 that an F-16 was scrambled and circled the news helicopter for several minutes before the pilot turned and left the area. The pilot will at the very least be interviewed by the feds, I love that word, interviewed, and could face license suspension. So hey, consider this your heads up. If you've got the resume and some time in the AS-350B2, you might want to apply at ABC's Channel 7 affiliate in Denver, Colorado. Rumor has it they might be looking for someone. And finally, a U.S. senator from Oklahoma called the Federal Aviation Administration chicken this week for its role in massive groundings of American Airlines jets in April. Republican Tom Coburn told attendees at a Tulsa town hall meeting, "The groundings of 299 MD-80 series airliners and the resulting cancellation of more than 3,400 flights and tens of thousands of stranded passengers occurred because FAA inspectors wanted to save face, not protect the flying public." Quote, "Rather than doing the job right and what's best, we made a spectacle of American Airlines and we stranded people all across this country," unquote. Coburn's Tuesday comments were reported in the Tulsa World. In the days following the groundings over wiring harnesses which didn't exactly match spec, many accused the FAA of political grandstanding at the expense of the world's largest passenger airline. Former NTSB board member John Golia told the New York Times, quote, "Those airplanes could have flown for the rest of their careers and those wires would not have been a problem," unquote. Coburn also notes the impact on American Airlines, already struggling financially. Quote, "A $100 million cost to shut that airplane down for something that was never at any time a safety factor," unquote. Wow, maybe there's a light here at the end of the tunnel. After all, if you want to talk regulatory burden on American industry, come on. $100 million, that's a drop in the bucket. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with Nicole Wahlberg of the Evergreen Aviation Museum, which next Friday becomes the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum. We'll talk about all the new exhibits in McMinnville, Oregon. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.